I'm speaking today with U.S. Representative Nick Lampson from the 22nd District in Texas. Representative Lampson, this is your first term representing this district after several terms in what was then the 9th District. Tell me what it's like changing to the 22nd and what it's like being in the majority, which is the first time you've had that privilege.
Actually, both are good. And as it turns out, the fact that I knew the district was different and knew that I wanted to make sure that because of the redistricting, I had a large number of people who didn't know and hadn't been able to work with me over years needed to see me. And I wanted to show them that I would be accessible, that I would be the independent voice that I promised that I would be during the election. Consequently, reaching out to them in the manner in which I did, some 600 town hall meetings, was phenomenal. 60,000 people came to those meetings in the last a little over 22 months, and it seems to me that they have responded quite nicely to me, and I feel very positive about where we are. It's been a difficult effort, but one that I think is highly successful.
Now, as I say, this is completing your first term as a member of the majority in the House. The House Democrats came in 07, with a lot of promise behind them, and I think there's quite a few people on the Democratic side who might say that they didn't live up to it. What is your assessment of the last term of the House?
The House of Representatives passed most of the legislation that they promised they would pass. It didn't become law because largely, there is not a strong majority in the Senate. And the Senate has also special rules that allow, that require a 60% vote in order to get a measure to the floor before it can pass with a simple majority. That has hampered some of the measures that we worked on, believed in, and wanted to put forth all the way through the system and into law from actually happening. I think that's going to change. We will have a stronger majority in the House of Representatives next year. There is a great chance that we will see fairly significant increase in the U.S. Senate. If those two things happen, then regardless of what happens with President and expecting there to be a Democratic president as well, I would say that we will be poised to move a great deal of legislation and really move this country forward on some key issues.
Okay. Obviously, Texas Gulf Coast was recently hit by a major hurricane, Hurricane Ike. Your district includes parts of Galveston County, which was badly hit by this hurricane. Tell me what was your office's response to this, and what is your assessment of the federal response overall to the hurricane?
I've been involved with hurricanes for a long time. Even before I was in Congress, I was living through them, and when I got into Congress, and particularly on the Science Committee, had the opportunity to work directly with NOAA, directly with the National Weather Service, directly with the Corps of Engineers, and putting pieces back together, and so and FEMA as well. And so when this hurricane became looming as it did, I made it a point to become involved and be where I could try to make a difference for my constituents, to make sure I was there to give confidence, to make sure I was there to give direction and preparation for evacuation and what we need to do to protect property and life through the course of this storm. Through that, I discovered that things weren't working exactly as what I expected them to as the storm hit land, and we began to get back on our feet after a nice little clop in the chops. Quickly tried to look for ways, innovative ways, for people to be able to contact FEMA, and that was one of the most important things that I recognized quickly. We heard immediately people were unable to reach FEMA because of inadequate access to electricity, couldn't get on the internet. Their cell phones, where they did have them, were having 8-hour waits to talk with someone. When I heard all of that and discovered that we had available to us a bank of computers and satellite telephones, I quickly asked the House of Representatives to move that equipment here. We set it up. We happened to have set it up on the same day that FEMA arrived here and set up to take claims themselves. On the first day, we had 2,000 claims filed with FEMA. I was so proud of our volunteers who did that. And not to denigrate what FEMA did, I really believe that it has serious challenges that it faces in becoming a more functional agency, one that can respond more quickly, give answers to questions that are not adequately being answered, and general response. It's an agent that's critically important to us, and I want to be a part to make sure that we pull the local leaders who have done magnificent jobs together, pick their brains, find out exactly where the shortcomings were, and make sure that we lay out a plan next time that makes FEMA's response much stronger, much quicker, and hopefully much more helpful to the people who need that help.
Well, recently, of course, the big news has been the crisis in the financial industry. There was a bill recently passed by Congress and the Senate, which is alternately termed a bailout or a rescue bill. You voted against it. Can you tell me your reasoning and what you would have preferred to have done?
From the very beginning, we questioned the way the proposal was given to us. Secretary Paulson gave us a very quick and an exceptionally strongly worded document that transferred most of the power that could possibly be in the hands of the House of Representatives into the administration. They asked for a $700 billion amount of money to be able to accomplish some tasks. Immediately, everyone in the Congress began questioning it, Democrats and Republicans. So what some of us were talking about doing was, why don't we have experts from the economics fields, people who brought different philosophies, come and make some presentations and tell us what we could truly expect, rather than having a proposal put in our face and said, here, vote on this in 2 days and we must have it, or we have a serious crisis facing us. We didn't get that, unfortunately. And when the vote ultimately failed, then there was a different kind of effort to sweeten the pot with a large number of projects that literally attracted certain members to be able to switch their votes. Again, I felt that was wrong. There was too much money that was being put onto the backs of the taxpayers. It was a boondoggle. It was a very large amount of money that we were adding to the debt of this nation, and that was one of the major reasons why I had run for Congress this term anyway, was to see if we couldn't be more responsible with our spending, decrease the number of deficit budgets, and begin to decrease the debt of our nation. Through this process, we have increased the debt of our nation to $11.6 trillion. I think that is irresponsible, and I think that it is going to add to our difficulties in coming out of this economic danger that we're facing right now.
You know, when the next president is sworn in, he's going to have, on the one hand, an economy that's in a downturn, possibly in a recession. He's also going to have big budget deficits. And he's going to have, you know, a mandate to do things about things like health care, which are going to cost money. You know, how do you balance all that? What do you, as a representative in Congress, see as your mission when these items are presented?
Actually, I guess you can look at it as if the glass were half full or as it were half empty. And I choose to look at it as half full. And I believe that this presents us wonderful opportunity to change what we have been seeing happen in our country and to give hope to the people that we can achieve some of the goals that we need desperately to have. Some kind of health care program that will expand access to health care for the 50 million Americans who do not have it, and to change the way we're delivering health care right now. I have seen some exceptionally impressive clinics locally where they are doing innovative tasks at pulling people in and teaching them preventive measures to keep their health instead of waiting until someone becomes so ill that it costs a great deal of money to treat them in dramatic ways. So finding ways that we can use technology in medicine, that we can bring health care to the public differently than what we have, I think is one of those areas that's going to be critically important for us. I think we also have to look for ways to do what successful presidents have done in the past and successful Congresses, build on our infrastructure that give great opportunity for a return of our investment or on our investment by allowing new businesses to develop, by creating larger numbers of jobs that cause money to be put in such a way that it grows the economy dramatically. And I guess one of the best examples that I can give of that is knowing that we already are going to spend a great deal of money on our normal transportation reauthorization effort that's coming up next year, that I will be doing my third program in that reauthorization project as a member of the Transportation Committee. to make sure that instead of going and doing some of what's been proposed to give money away in the form of checks, that we direct those dollars into programs that are going to put large numbers of people to work and at the same time build our communities and build opportunity for small businesses and for manufacturing activities that we've been seeing going away from our country. And maybe we can accomplish the task of pulling some of those back.
Of course, you know, since we talking about the, you know, the federal deficit and the debt, we've been spending a lot of money on the war in Iraq. The consensus now seems to be that we will be pulling out in, you know, a little more than a year's time. You had previously voted against efforts to do this, so I want to ask, first of all, where your position is now, and, you know, where you think the U.S. needs to be, where you think the U.S. needs to be focusing its defense efforts going forward.
I believe that we need to be changing our mission. We have a war on terror that is not in Iraq, it's worldwide. And if we can better aim our efforts at where we can perform good intelligence measures to find out exactly the people that are perpetrating crimes against people all over the world, regardless of where they are, and then use special forces rather than combat troops to achieve our goals, and then I think that we can have much greater progress than what we have been. And I'll give you an example. The last four Al-Qaeda operatives that the United States has been instrumental in either capturing or killing occurred not in Iraq, and not even in Afghanistan, but in Pakistan. And it happened because we had good intelligence, and with that intelligence won the support of the Pakistani government to allow our special forces to go in. We killed one person and captured three others. These were four different operations that occurred in a period of the last 6 months or so. I think that's the smart way that we need to be attacking this war on terror. I believe that we are well underway to moving toward that goal.
Okay. Going forward, one of the issues that constantly comes up is immigration. Whenever I talk to local candidates, they all talk about how it's a federal problem. Congress didn't really deal with the issue of comprehensive immigration reform in this past term. What should they be doing in the next term?
Well, first thing first, let's secure our border. Let's make sure that whatever we do in the future, we have taken steps to make to give the Border Patrol the support they need with personnel, with equipment, with the whatever is resources necessary for them to do a good job to protect the borders of this nation. We also must dry up the incentive that's pulling people to come in here, which means enforce the law against the employers of illegal workers. And when we do that, well, then we'll be able to recognize the fact that we have been an immigrant nation, and that we must fix our broken immigration system so that people don't overstay visas when they come to the United States, that the brightest minds that we want to come to the United States, who are coming here already as students, instead of asking them to leave, ask them, as we have done in past decades, to stay and to bring us their ability to continue letting us be the leaders of the technology of the world so that we can maintain our standard of living and we can maintain our leadership of the world and where we want to go with science and technology.
While talking of science and technology, tell me what's going on with NASA these days. The space shuttle mission is coming to an end, and NASA seems to be kind of at a crossroads. Where does it go from here?
Let's hope and pray that we have a new commitment in supporting NASA and NASA-related activities. Space exploration and space science have been critical financial drivers of our economy in the last several decades. We have literally created millions of new jobs and put trillions of dollars into the economy because of information technology, growth in medical advances, and that's come not because of the trips that we made to the moon, but because of the journey that gave us the ability to learn and achieve those successes. And so it's my hope that we we'll have more measures like what we have just, and successes like what we've just had with the authorization of the NASA budget, where we added some $2.2 billion back into NASA, which would allow a couple of additional space shuttle flights, and to begin to fund some, make up some of the shortfall of funding that NASA's had because of the loss of the last space shuttle and because of some damage that was done from prior storms. We can't allow ourselves to become dependent on Russia. Russia is the nation that has the only other human-rated spacecraft, and it's the only way that we can be able to transport our astronauts to the International Space Station, which we have invested tens of billions of dollars. I think that is a dangerous position for us to be in, particularly as we notice China having successes. They had a spacewalk just within the last couple of weeks from Shenzhou. They have had a satellite around moon, our moon. They have also seen set their own goals to have a base on the moon more quickly than what the United States of America plans to return to the moon. We can't allow other nations to surpass us in some of these goals, because if we do, I believe that it puts us in the jeopardy of seeing our status among the technological leaders of the world begin to slip. It's my hope that we will see the strength that was shown by 415 members of Congress in the last vote in supporting this authorizing budget for NASA continue to grow, and we'll have near unanimous support for our future projects.
Earlier this year, Congress passed a bill that President Bush signed, related to FISA, that expanded the executive authority to do warrantless wiretapping. This was not very popular among people, certainly among Democratic Party members. When you look at that, what was the reason for that? And do you think, looking back on it, that it's still a good idea?
Well, first of all, what ultimately passed was negotiated by the Democratic leadership. And it was a half a loaf rather than a whole loaf of an effort to try to move a piece of legislation forward. There was hope on the part of many in the Democratic Party and many in the Congress that this would be revisited in the future when there is an opportunity to do so, and I believe that that's very likely going to happen. So while there were some measures within this piece of legislation that people did not like, and it passed, and we didn't go far enough with some of what we needed to, it is my belief that it was as good as what Congress could do, and it had to do something. And it will very likely be revisited. And my guess is it's going to be revisited during this next year when there's a bigger Democratic majority.
I guess the point that a lot of people got stuck on was the question of that something had to be done at this time. A lot of people were arguing, why do something now in the final year of a lame duck presidency when you know there's going to be a new president and hopefully a Democratic president who would have different priorities perhaps for this bill in 2009? What was the argument against just putting it off till next year, especially since there had been some effort in the previous months to prevent it from coming to the floor in Senate?
The fact that there were expiration of measures and something needed to be in place to allow our government to have the ability to do some of the intelligence work that was required. Now, let's make sure we don't forget the fact that there have been some doubts created over some of the operations of the administration with some of the work that our intelligence services, our State Department and Defense Department have done. That's really playing largely on Congress, and even on both sides of our Congress. That's why I think that there is going to be a revisiting of this measure. Again, most members felt that there had to be some measure addressed so that there would be a positive vote in support of protecting the people of the United States of America. I think that was the bottom line of what was happening there. Now, what did we have to do to go about getting a measure put in place that was acceptable to the largest number of Democrats and largest number of Republicans possible? Maybe that wasn't the best measure, but it was one that we could get through the House, and that's essentially what happened.
Okay. What if it were up to you to put together Congress's agenda for the 2009, what would be your top three items?
It would be balancing our budget. It would be energy and healthcare. Now, I left something out that's very dear to me, but I'll make it say that it's a part of the energy plan, and that's education. I really believe that that we have to find ways to have our country work together differently than what we have. We have had such a divisive and divided Congress that has prevented us from being able to pull parties together that would be able to find and have respectful debate over issues, share ideas, and come to compromise conclusions that would move issues forward. The economy is a huge factor in our future right now. If we do not get our budget and our debt under control quickly, then easily get totally out of control, and we have other problems then that would face us. My guess is, based on what I've learned from David Walker from the Peterson Foundation, is that we have probably 4 to 5 years to make some very serious decisions about our economics and to get ourselves on track. And if we don't get our debt specifically under control, again, we just increased it to $11.6 trillion, then it may not be worthwhile to make too many other decisions following that. I said energy because while we're facing an energy crisis, I think that just solving energy provides us with other opportunities to change other needs within our community. Look at what the successes were when John Kennedy challenged us to go to the moon in 1962. In doing that, he changed the attitude of students who did not have the knowledge at the time and who weren't succeeding in school in the way that we were, and pulled them into situations and created excitement about getting to be a part of making the dream that he presented to the United States of America become a reality. I think the next moonshot for us has to do with energy and expanding our sources of energy. That means that we've got to look for new ways of having strong use of biomass, wind, and water, solar, whatever kinds of alternative means of energy that we can get our knowledge into, our hands onto, I think is what will bring us into our future. And the other the big thing that we must address, and I hope that we can do so in an innovative way, is to make sure that the 50 million Americans have access to health care. And we can even look at this selfishly. As we do not address the problem of people not being able to get the care that they need, they seek what turns out to be the most expensive form of care, an emergency room in a hospital. And that means that everyone else is paying higher taxes and higher insurance premiums to cover that cost. We ought to be able to design a way to bring health care into people's neighborhoods. We know that it's happening now. And there are models that we can go and pick up. Here in Stafford, it was one of the most impressive facilities that I have seen. I will soon have members of Congress looking at this particular facility here in the hopes that it can become a model that we can duplicate in other places and maybe even use it in the recovery of some of our own healthcare system here that was damaged during the storm. As we see those kinds of problems addressed and look for innovative ways to address them, not only can we do it within the resources that are available to us, but we can do it in a way that changes people's quality of life and their morale at the same time. So I am very optimistic about the agenda. I think you're going to see those things being addressed and addressed very strongly in this next Congress.
How should the people of the 22nd District evaluate your first term? And, you know, if I were your manager and asking you to set goals for the next term, you know, what will be the things that they should evaluate you on in 2010?
Well, I said that I would pay attention to business at home, that I would try to understand what was on the minds of the people. I said that I would be accessible, that I would be effective. I've proven to be both of those. And I did it with significant numbers of meetings. I put myself everywhere I needed to be in this entire congressional district. And when a catastrophe hit us, I was almost everywhere and trying to be effective for changing what was happening on the ground, the communication center that we set up to address the needs of 7,000 people in a matter of 4 days' time, was quick and effective, and brought us a great deal of praise because of successes that we had. I just got an email a few minutes ago from somebody who says we saved his life. That's a strong statement. But getting someone the help that they felt helpless in is something that's very exciting to me. I want to be looked at as someone who is a go-to person to solve problems. And I think that as long as I can continue to deliver for my district, as long as I can continue to work, to struggle, to be as strong a partner as I can with the constituents of the 22nd Congressional District, and they know that as long as they're participating in with me, then our partnership is going to be something that's going to be beneficial to the district. I think that they can have confidence that I'm going to continue to work as hard as I have in the past, and I hope that they'll honor that that effort that I've made, because it's been sincere.
All right. Representative Nick Lampson, thank you very much for talking to me today.
My pleasure.